Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is May 16th, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Acupuncture versus Morphine for Renal Colic. And our guest, Skeptics, that's right, two. It's okay to have two guests, skeptics. It's just not okay to have two primary outcomes. So we have Dr. Tony Sapal, who's the chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Arkansas. And he's brought with him Dr. Cord Cunningham, a PGY2 in emergency medicine, also at the University of Arkansas for medical sciences. Welcome back to the SGM, Tony.
Ken, thanks. And big shout out to the SGM family.
Woohoo! SGM. Now, as part of our cultural exchange, I brought you something. Now, it's not tequila because I know you love tequila.
Oh, yeah.
So right behind Cord, waiting to be opened after this, is some good Canadian rye. It's called Northern Harvest. It is smooth and it is fabulous.
Have I ever said that I love Ken? I love Ken.
Well, Tony, thanks for bringing another superstar resident, no pressure, Cord. Welcome to the SGM.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
Now, is Tony giving you any academic credit for this?
We haven't discussed specifics, but there should be some.
Well, if this is going to be part of your evaluation, what's with the theme music, okay? So it's supposed to be from the 80s. It's not. It's supposed to have something to do with the podcast. It doesn't. So please explain your musical selection for this podcast.
Well, it's an instrumental song, so I feel like it's open to interpretation, but that's a Grammy Award-winning song, so...
Very good. Okay, Tony, tell the listeners where we're recording this podcast.
Ken, so we're at SAM 18 in the phenomenal city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And for the skeptic family out there, this is where I spent 13 years of my career, the IU School of Medicine. It's a phenomenal place, great leadership, great people, great city, and I'm just really, really glad to be back.
Did you know that I went to the Speedway yesterday?
I heard. How'd that go, by the way?
I didn't meet Ricky, but I met Bobby.
Oh, Bobby was there.
I met Uncle Bobby. Bobby. And Uncle Bobby and I hit it off. I got a little Bat Doc photo with him. He was a very generous, very kind man. We talked racing, and I saw them do their practice runs for the Indy 500.
Oh, that's a classic Indy experience, Kevin.
It just doesn't get any better than that when you're an Indy. All right, so we're going to have a case. Cord, why don't you give us the case?
All right, our case. A 51-year-old man presents to the emergency department complaining of right flank pain radiating to his groin like his previous episode of renal colic. He states the pain comes in waves, is associated with nausea, but no vomiting. On exam, he is afebrile and appears very uncomfortable while grabbing his right flank. He has used ketorolac, acetaminophen, tamsulosin in the past. He really wants to avoid taking any opiates and is wondering if acupuncture could work.
All right, so for some background information, we've covered renal colic a number of times on the SGEM with you, Tony, and I'm worried that you're going to get a reputation of being a real stoner.
Is that a bad thing, Ken? I don't know.
Well, if you're from Canada, it could be. We had actually things called stoner jackets when I was in high school, and people would wear these, like, stoner jackets. I'll have to send you a picture. And it was like, oh yeah, they're with the stoners and they're heading out to the patio to smoke.
That's not an American thing.
No?
No.
Well, there is some differences between you and
slightly,
I.
Slightly. Slightly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just an unarmed American with universal health care.
I was born in Toronto, you know. Oh, I'm a LeBrontonian.
Oh, okay, yes.
Hope that didn't sting too much, Canadians. No.
All right, so I'll list the previous episodes that we've done on the blog, but Cord, can you summarize the conclusions of these episodes that we've done, Tony and I, on renal colic?
Sure. So here are the SGM bottom lines for management of renal colic. Expulsive therapy is unnecessary for ureteric stones less than 5 millimeters. There's some weak evidence that tamsulosin may help the passage of larger stones that are 5 to 10 millimeters. You don't need to push fluids, oral or IV, or use diuretics to pass kidney stones. Bedside emergency department ultrasound is safe and has several advantages over CT for the diagnosis of kidney stones. Lidocaine cannot be recommended for treatment of renal colic at this time.
We've also covered a couple of acupuncture papers on the SGEM. Watch for a new episode coming up on battlefield ear acupuncture to treat low back pain in the emergency department. But Cord, can you summarize those two critical reviews that we have done on acupuncture, and we did it with Al Sacchetti?
Sure. there's no high-quality evidence that acupuncture works for patients presenting to the emergency department with back pain, ankle sprains, or migraines. The study on acupuncture to prevent reoccurrence of migraine headaches in patients without aura does not provide any evidence of the efficacy.
Well, the authors of the trial that we're going to look at today say that acupuncture has been proven to have efficacy in treating renal colic pain.
These were two small, unblinded trials, which limits its applicability and validity.
All right, so let's get to the clinical question that we're going to ask today. What is it?
In adult patients presenting to the emergency department with renal colic, is acupuncture superior to morphine for pain control?
And Cord, what's the reference?
Our reference is Beltekieff K, acupuncture versus titrated morphine in acute renal colic, a randomized controlled trial in the Journal of Pain Research.
All right, so we're going to run through the PICO, you and I, Cord.
All right.
So what was the population?
Patients greater than 18 years old presenting to a Tunisian emergency department with clinical suspicion of uncomplicated renal colic and a pain score greater than 70 out of 100 on a visual analog scale.
And there were a number of exclusions, and I'll list those in the show notes. What was the intervention?
So our intervention was 30 minutes of acupuncture seeding needles until dekhi, which is numbness and tingling, was achieved using urinary bladder meridian points.
And what did they compare it to?
It was compared to titrated morphine chloral hydrate using a bolus of 0.1 mg per kg every 5 minutes until the pain score reached 50% of baseline.
And they had a number of outcomes. What were the two primary outcomes?
So the two primary outcomes, the first one was durability, which they defined as drop in the visual analog scale of at least 50% from baseline at 30 minutes and lasting all the way up to 60 minutes. The other primary outcome was rapidity, which they defined as a time and drop of the VAS in at least 50% from baseline.
So they combined these two outcomes to being success. So this is what they considered success. All right, and the other outcomes that they had were adverse events, and I'll list those in the show notes. But the author's conclusions were, in ED patients with renal colic, acupuncture was associated with a much faster and deeper analgesic effect and a better tolerance profile in comparison with titrated IV morphine. All right, when it comes to the quality checklist, Tony, I'm going to have to turn to you and get you to say yes, no, or unsure. So let's run through the 11 questions. First question, are these emergency department patients?
Yes.
Did they adequately randomize them?
Yes.
Did they conceal the randomization?
Unsure.
Were they analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized?
Unsure.
Were these consecutive patients?
Yes.
And were both groups similar with respect to prognostic factors?
Unsure.
And all participants, were they unaware of their group allocation?
No.
Were the groups treated equally except for the intervention?
Unsure.
How about the follow-up? Was it complete?
Yes.
Did they consider all patient important outcomes?
Yes.
And the 11th question, the final question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically relevant?
No.
All right, so let's run through the key results. They consecutively recruited 119 patients. The mean age was in the low 40s with about 50-50 split between men and women. Give us the primary outcome, Cord.
No difference in success rate, but a statistical difference in resolution time favoring acupuncture.
All right, so Tony, you're going to have to help unpack this a bit for me because I struggled going through the results section. So if we could drill down a bit into it and maybe you could clear up some of my confusion.
Yeah, Ken. Well, you're confused because the attention to detail was lacking just a bit. But in terms of the outcomes as we describe them from a durability standpoint, the drop in the VAS of at least 50% from baseline at 30 minutes and lasting to 60 minutes, they found no difference between the two groups. In terms of the outcome of rapidity, the time to a drop in the VAS of at least 50% from baseline was statistically different, 14 and a half minutes versus 28 minutes.
And then how about adverse events?
So there were less adverse events in the acupuncture group, roughly 3, versus the morphine group, which had 42 adverse events. But there were no serious adverse events reported in this trial.
All right, it's time to drill down even deeper to my favorite section, the nerdy section. So we've got 5 points to go through when we're talking nerdy. And the first question is about randomization and concealment.
So Ken, as you know, this is critically important because concealment, which occurs at the point of randomization, is critical to maintaining the integrity of randomization. There's the potential in this trial that it may not have been concealed. They used sealed envelopes, but but did not mention if the envelopes were opaque. And while this may seem like a minor point, it does open the possibility or potential that the envelopes could be opened and resealed or looked at through a light source, hence breaching randomization. It is much better to have an electronic random system to assign patients to study arms and preferably off-site.
However, even if the randomization process was concealed, there was no blinding of the participants and providers. This absolutely introduces bias into the study, such as placebo effect and expectation.
All right, so let's talk about the second point. And this is about baseline characteristics and external validity.
So they reported common baseline patient characteristics that were similar between both groups. A key characteristic they did not report, however, was whether or not the patient had used acupuncture in the past and what their thoughts were about this treatment modality. Because there's such a strong placebo effect in acupuncture studies, this should have been investigated and controlled for in the trial. 15 of the 153 consecutive patients refused to participate in the study. Was this because they did not believe in acupuncture and did not want to get randomized into that group? We just don't know.
In addition, this trial was conducted in Tunisia. The acceptance of acupuncture in Tunisia may be different than that in North America. There may be cultural issues that minimize applicability to patients in North America who may be conditioned differently or inherently biased about the effects of acupuncture. A key component of the placebo effect is a working belief in the treatment. Would the same trial done in North America or a society that is more skeptical of acupuncture produce the same results?
And I think those are good questions to bring up. Now, for the third point, this is about outcomes.
So the outcome measures were a little confusing. What was the primary outcome? They say the main outcome was success, defined as having two components. This would make it a composite outcome. We know that composite outcomes can be easier to demonstrate significance because you're creating a bigger target. However, the results did not demonstrate a statistical difference between the two groups, 87% in the acupuncture group versus 83% in the morphine group.
Now, when they separated out the two groups, they did show significant differences in the visual analog scale at 60 minutes and the mean time to resolution. And we'll discuss that a little bit more in the fourth and fifth nerdy point.
When it comes to adverse events, there are many more in the morphine group, with the vast majority being dizziness, nausea, and vomiting. There were no events that were considered serious, and no patients seemed to drop out of the trial due to the reported adverse events. They could have asked the patients in the morphine group if the side effects in the treatment were bothersome.
Well, that's a nice segue, actually, into the fourth nerdy point, and that's talking about statistical versus clinical significance.
Yeah, so this is a critical discussion in any pain trial, Ken, and we've covered this numerous times. It's generally accepted in pain research that a 13-millimeter change in the VAS is the minimal amount to be considered clinically relevant or clinically significant. Whether statistically significant or not is, who really cares? Because this is a patient-centered outcome. Given that the study was unblinded and may have unbalanced groups, this could represent bias in addition to the random noise in any data set.
And there are ways to explore the statistical versus clinical significance issue. How about asking the patient if they were satisfied with pain reduction? What group would they prefer to have been assigned? If they're having another attack of renal colic, would they like the same treatment? These questions could have been teased out whether or not the differences observed were patient-oriented outcomes.
And the fifth and final point is about comparison group.
Yeah, so was this a straw man comparison? I'm not sure whether morphine chlorohydrate dosing is equivalent to morphine sulfate, but 16.7 milligrams total seems like a larger dose than I would typically use in the emergency department for renal colic. And after a quick search, it would seem that chlorohydrate is approximately 25% more powerful than morphine. So for us North Americans, the Canucks, and those down south, that's probably 20-plus milligrams, Ken. I mean, that's a lot of morphine.
That's not a straw man, then.
That's no, that's a apneic man?
Iron man?
Narcan man.
They also started the acupuncture at time zero and continued for 30 minutes. So the placebo effect would have kicked in immediately and been maintained for at least the 30 minutes that acupuncture was applied. In contrast, the control group got intermittent contact with morphine being titrated every 5 minutes. That could have shifted the effect for that control group on the x-axis to the right. even looking at the x-axis, it just doesn't look right. So, you know, the eyeball test here is kind of an issue. The time between 0 and 10 minutes looks the same distance as between 45 and 60 minutes. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense. The slopes of the two lines also look the same. It looks like if you shifted the morphine results to the left by 10 minutes, it would overlap the acupuncture line.
The Achilles heel of the trial was a lack of a sham acupuncture group. It has been demonstrated previously that there is no difference between true acupuncture and sham acupuncture. One trial showed that just putting toothpicks in a patient's back could achieve the same efficacy as real acupuncture for back pain. Without a sham acupuncture group, it is not possible to minimize the placebo effect.
Well, that's it for the five nerdy points. Let's comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
We disagree with the author's conclusions. It was a flawed trial. It does not represent a place in the emergency department analgesic armamentarium and does not deserve to be further investigated due to a lack of biological plausibility.
And Cord, how about an SGEM bottom line?
This trial does not support the claim that acupuncture works or is superior to morphine for adult patients presenting to the emergency department with renal colic.
Cord, can you give us a case resolution to the one you presented?
So we gave this patient 10 milligrams of IV ketorolac for the pain and 8 milligrams of IV ondansetron for the nausea. He is reassessed in 30 minutes without much relief. You discuss using subdissociative dose of ketamine to minimize the amount of opiate. He agrees and ends up having his pain relieved.
So Tony, I'm going to turn to you and ask you to take this information and how are you going to use it? How are you going to clinically apply it in your practice?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you didn't use lidocaine to conclude that case, Cord. So acupuncture is based on meridians that have never been proven to exist. This seriously calls into question the biological plausibility of manipulating meridians to improve qi. The Bayesian pretest probability of acupuncture working is very low and would hence require a large effect size to demonstrate efficacy. This is another low quality study that does not demonstrate that acupuncture is useful for acute pain. It would be wrong to use the serious opioid problem to justify a therapy which has not been proven to work.
So, Cord, what are you going to tell the patient at the bedside?
It would be great if acupuncture had been shown to work in renal colic. Unfortunately, there's no good evidence to support it being effective. We will try to get your pain down using medications proven to work and even have some new options available that can minimize opiate use.
It's time to announce the Keener Contest winner, and last week's winner was a repeat winner. It was Dave Lemonick from Pittsburgh. He knew that of the over 100 lawsuits Dr. Klein has reviewed alleging negligence because of failure to diagnose pulmonary embolism in the emergency department, zero. That's right, a big round number. 0% of the cases involved the failure of a decision rule.
Now, Cord, we were talking before we started recording, what would be a good Keener or Gunner, because I am in the U.S., Gunner contest question. And we said, well, it should be about acupuncture, morphine, kidney stones, and you have a question involving acupuncture.
Which NFL player was recently featured on HBO's Hard Knocks using acupuncture to help with muscle pain after workouts?
So if you know the answer, just send it to me at thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, thanks, Cord, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And Tony, always a pleasure.
Ken, it's an honor to be on this show with you, my friend. An honor.
I'm looking forward to that maple whiskey.
I love you, Ken.
All right. So, Cord, could you give the SGEM tagline?
Sure. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.